I'm in my you know, I'm watching the Knicks and the Rockets, and then all of a sudden they break away for this coverage. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, the Knicks are finally back in the NBA Finals, and I've got to watch a split screen for a Bronco chase. And then they started explaining who was in it, and it was like, what is going on? It was so many years before social media even came around. I mean, social media has been around for, like, what, the last 15 years? So how about this? 15 years before social media, this was a big story. Could you even imagine if this happened now during the time of Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and X, and all the other social media forms? You realize what a field day they would have with something like that, given the person and the magnitude?
I don't think the internet would be able to take it, actually.
I don't either.
Because a highway car chase is what I always see from that, Steve. So answer me this. Was there like high-speed car chases at all, like televised on like any kind of, you know, that to me was the thing that stood out the most. Like a fugitive on the run. That would never be televised on the news or anything like that.
I was so mad they took off the Knick game. That's what bothered me. Because this chase was so big that what ended up happening was they took the play-by-play off, and I think they might have had it in a little small part of the screen, and then this chase was like this is all they were talking about. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, put the Knick game back. I was mad. I was upset. I'm like, come on, OJ, you should I don't need the game to be gone because of your car chase. That's not what it's all about, but that's what I remember. That's exactly what I remember. I was watching the game. I was excited. Knicks hadn't been in the NBA Finals in 21 years, and that happens.
Wow. I would just say, well, here, let me ask you another question. Was the response right after the fact immediately he is guilty, that he did you know at that time?
We didn't know anything.
Okay, so this was just all reactions to breaking news.
The whole thing was weird. Yeah, it was all weird.
Wow. Isn't it interesting how they also covered that, like a national news, like story?
Seriously, every network was on it. Every network was on it. That's why they interrupted the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Because ABC wasn't about to be the ones left out of the cold while CBS and NBC were rolling on it and showing everybody what the heck was going on out there.
Man, I still find that thing so wild. Like, just the fact that they'll take off an NBA Finals game to show that. And, hey, maybe rightfully so. Maybe in today's day and age, if we're talking about an icon and somebody who even starred in movies and shows and stuff like that as an actor, maybe we would be talking about that today, and it would simply break the internet if something like that would have happened here in 2024.
By the way, I don't know what's weirder about this whole situation with OJ, because you got to think about it, okay? Like I said, superstar athlete, actor, super popular, likable. Everybody loved OJ. Just a lovable guy. Nobody knew about his personality and all the stuff we found out after the fact. But think about this, okay? You know, when he was acquitted, I just started at the radio station. It was that summer. We were across the street, and it might even have been 4141. I don't remember, but it was one of the Pinnacle addresses. I remember watching it on a small TV with a bunch of people huddled around the set just to see the results. And when they said not guilty, that was a big, big deal. Everybody was talking about that. Everybody was
really
talking about that. Oh, my God.
That's
yes.
Interesting in itself.
The trial was huge.
I love the recent Hulu documentary on the trial. It was like a 3 or 4 parter. I love that one. That's the first time I actually got the insight on that. But was this like a daily thing, Steve? Like you would say, all right, in today's edition of the trial, this is what happened, that kind of thing?
Like a daily story.
Was this a daily story?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything. In-depth daily. Not just daily. In-depth.
So that's why the attorneys became characters, right?
Yes, yes. And that when that decision happened, I guarantee you this, that was probably one of the most, that could be the most watched court ruling ever.
Yeah, I mean, how do you What would even go up against that right there? I mean, you just see it by all the social media posts today, right? Everybody talking about it. Some people a little with darker humor than others, but still, I mean, that it just shows you that everybody knew the name O.J. Simpson.
Listen, O.J. Made in America was good. I thought that was very well done. Very well done. And then, how about this, okay? How about the fact that 12 years after the acquittal, he was going to write a book with a hypothetical account of the killings and was going to call it If I Did It. Like, that is sick. Who would even think of something like that? That's what I'm talking about. Like, you have to realize, okay, not only was O.J. Simpson a cultural phenomenon as a result of everything that happened, but like, whether you're innocent or guilty or whatever, who would want to even think of writing a book, making money, and calling it If I Did It? I mean, that's just, you don't even have words for that whole thing. So the point is, and then he goes on social media a few years ago, and his first ever time on Twitter and X, and you're like, what is happening? Like, you know, he never sent out a tweet. It was always a video tweet, always,
yes,
for OJ. He never just put a statement out, like, or any kind of post. It was just him talking the whole time. And I mean, it was just, like, that's what I'm saying. Up until the very end, until today, when you found out, I guess he hid it for months that he was suffering from prostate cancer. The whole story is just surreal. It's so just, I don't even know how to describe it. It's beyond weird.
Okay, I'll say this, man. When OJ first joined Twitter and he was posting, I thought it was fake. And we could call it Twitter because this is actually the peak of Twitter. When Twitter was hilarious, it was great. We all had check marks, who actually needed check marks and
yes,
stuff like that. It was easier to find things. And OJ popped up on Twitter and started blocking people, Steve. That's scary. Imagine being somebody on his blocked list. No,
no
way. I don't want to be that person right there.
I
he
can't.
Started blocking people left and right. He started talking crap about him.
I can't believe it. That was just, I mean, again, that's what I'm talking about. The whole thing is just weird. And by the way, every like OJ video he posted was always like 2 minutes long. He had a lot to say about everything. He was there for COVID. He was always on the golf course or at some like resort area. Like you look at OJ's messages, OJ was living the good life. He was living the good life. In fact, here was his first ever message when he joined up on a social here years ago. Here you go.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there, so this one, @TheRealOJ32, is the only official one. So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
Oh, my God. I got a little getting even to do. That was on Twitter. That was his first ever post. And people were like, oh, man, what is this going to be? In fact, I'll say this. I hope for the historical records, I hope they keep that profile up forever because that has all his videos. Like, that's the record of OJ the last 5-6 years. You got to keep that going. He started that account in June of 2019, so a little less than 5 years ago.
It's the way he ends it that scares me the most. It's, I have some getting even to do, and then just laughs about it.
You want to
hear this?
Let me tell you something. And it's even weirder. Okay, this post here was from February 9th of this year, okay? February 9th, which is what? 2 months ago. 2 months ago. Listen to this.
Hey, X-World. Hospice? Hospice? You talking about hospice? No, I'm not in any hospice. I don't know who put that out there, but whoever put that out there, I guess it's like the Donald Sink. Can't trust the media. In any event, I'm hosting a ton of friends for the Super Bowl here in Las Vegas. And all is well, you know? So, hey, guys, take care. Have a good Super Bowl weekend.
So, more than likely, by then, he knew he had prostate cancer, just kept it quiet. And that was it up until his last ever video post was in a 49er jersey. And that was on February 11th. That was the last time we saw OJ on social.
You know, I was also going to say that those who can actually recall OJ playing football will tell you that he was just one of the most feared running backs at that time.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he was just an absolute baller and killed it. So on the sports side of things.
Yeah, he killed it, yeah. All right.
I've used a lot of those in that one little sentence. But, you know, for OJ Simpson, as a football player, he will be remembered as top to play at the position in that era.
Hall of Famer. I mean, yeah. There's not even a question. He rushed for 2,000 yards in 1973. That didn't happen in those days. People forget just how good of a football player he was with the Buffalo Bills. I mean, he was the juice. And the truth is, I mean, when I'm a kid growing up in the late 70s, yeah, OJ was a hero, even though he beat up the Jets because he was amazing. Like, that was just one of those guys that, I mean, everybody that watched football thought O.J. Simpson was just was a terrific football player, and everybody wanted to be like O.J. at that point because of how good he was on the field.
Yeah, and it also seemed like everybody gravitated toward O.J. after football because of his acting career. So then It's like, yeah, we latch on to him, and then that's why the everything that happened in the 90s was so polarizing to him, and no one saw it coming.
He was Nordberg.
I like it.
Eric, the number 48, says, I was one of the only humans in the universe to miss the OJ chase. I was home on leave from the Navy and decided to go on a fishing trip with some buddies.
It's like, what did I miss? Oh, yeah, sit down. Let me tell you about what you missed there.
That's right, because remember, that wasn't exactly a time when you could just go on your phone and hear about it. I mean, there were cell phones in those days, but they were large brick phones. They weren't small pocket phones. They didn't have social. They didn't have the internet. The internet was just getting really going in 1994. So that was all in its infancy. The only way you watched anything was the news, and that's how people followed it.
Yeah, I feel like the way this was covered, everybody talking about it, it's so interesting to me. And again, how the attorneys were even seen like characters throughout the whole trial.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the case. And you want to know something? We'll probably never have anything like O.J. Simpson ever again. I mean, you just think about it. It doesn't have to be sports. It could just be a celebrity who gets involved in a crime and goes to a very highly publicized trial, beats it, still finds a way to go into jail in a more bizarre situation involving the memorabilia in the hotel a few years later. That was even more nuts. And then when he comes out, acts as if nothing ever happened. I mean, it's crazy stuff.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and then him starting, going back to his Twitter profile page, him starting to, like, judge people when they do something bad, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yes, yes.
Like, he was weighing in. He was one of the main guys who was weighing in on the Antonio Brown saga, everything that fell out with him. And I was thinking to myself, interesting that you're weighing in on this.
The replies to every one of his tweets was hilarious. I mean, oh, really, yeah. People just had a field day with him. But he didn't care. He never pushed one reply. It was a video, and that was it. There was never any kind of non-video mention from O.J. Simpson on his Twitter account, ever.
Yeah, I like that. I like the fact. The only thing that he did was block people. Like, he just wouldn't reply. He would just block people. That was it.
Yeah. All right, 19 Paz, good to have you starting off with us here on the show today. There you go. That's how we begin. We reflect on O.J. Simpson, the cultural phenomenon that he is and now was. We'll come back more in a moment, but first let's go to Charlie One and get ourselves this traffic update. Brown of the Houston Astros. Two-thirds of an inning, 11 hits, 9 earned runs, a walk, no strikeouts. His earned run average is now 16.43 as the Royals beat the Astros today 13-3. How about this? Houston right now is 4-10. Remember, no Dusty this year. They got rid of Dusty. They decided they had enough, And right now the Astros are just in the tank starting out the season.
When do you start to hit the panic button? Not panic button. Are you raising red flags? Because it's not too early. It's way too early to hit the panic button. Are you raising red flags?
Yeah, you're raising red flags. The good news right now for, I think, teams like the Astros is that nobody's really off to a great start in the AL West. I mean, the Rangers are 7-6. So as bad as things are in Houston, they're only 3.5 games out of first place because the whole division is bad. So that's the good news. I mean, it's not like you're playing right now in the AL East or you're playing in one of these other divisions where, you know, a bad start puts you behind the eight ball. Like the White Sox are already 7 out of first place and the season just started. So, you know, they're 2-10. That's a problem too. So, but it is very interesting as we continue here on Sports Talk and get the opportunity to try to watch Tiger, that approach, and see if he can get himself on the green with a nice birdie putt here on 9. And he's watching that approach. It is absolutely gorgeous. And, well, it'll be a it'll probably be about a maybe a 15 to 18 foot putt, but that's makeable for Tiger to try and put himself in a spot to go 2 under par. So we'll see how Tiger's putter handles things here in the first round of the Masters. But, yeah, like that approach a lot. Good stuff from Tiger. All right, let me go to George. He joins us next as we continue here on Sports Talk. 505-6009. That is our telephone number. George, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking, Steve.
Sure thing.
I've been in MIA for a while, but I heard you guys talking about statues and putting some up in honor of some of the legends that we had here in the Sun City. I mean, I would think district-wide, you'd want to put up one on Uncle Nolan, graduated from Bowie and a Segundo Barrio alum. And, you know, he did so many great things for the city. And he's a Paso born, you know. Maybe he won a NCAA championship in Arkansas, but he's done a tremendous impact here in the city. Not only as a philanthropist, but as a coach in general. Another person that popped up was Aaron Jones. I mean, he's doing a phenomenal job in setting the course for a lot of young athletes here in El Paso. But there's also alum in Andres, the late coach.
Alan Sepkowitz?
Just passed away.
Jim Forbes?
No, Jim Forbes, okay. Okay.
Jim Forbes, yeah. And Sepkowitz, too, would be another one. You know, there's a lot of great athletes as well as coaches that we could honor.
George, here's the thing. You know, here's the biggest problem, George. Money, right? money. I mean, look, Don Haskins is and will always be the most well-known sports figure in this town's history. And look how long it took to get this done. So I'm with you. Whether it's Nolan Richardson, Lee Trevino, Aaron Jones, in non-sports, I saw Sandra Day O'Connor. That was posted earlier by Ivan. I mean, there's a lot of great names. A lot of great names. But so many things have to happen in order to build statues, find a place to put them, and get them financed and underwritten. I mean, it's a tough process. Not easy. Not easy at all.
It would be a great grassroots a campaign to start small and to just grow from it. But it would be something that would be beneficial not only for our generation, but generations to come to see that, Tristan Newton, off the top of my head, that just won an NCAA championship. You know, names like that, that, you know, you could do something like that, build on it in a grassroots campaign. I wouldn't mind being a part of it to get something started like that.
All I can tell you is this, George. I love the idea. I love the passion. There's a lot of great names. That's another hard part, is that why should one person get it over the other? And you'll be dealing with that too, because there's some that are going to say, you know what, I want to see this person or I want to see that person. And then before you know it, the issue is going to be who gets in over who and what's the requirements and everything else. Look, I'll say this, okay? If you're really looking at statues of players, I mean, Don Maynard is an NFL, he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. He is, you know, the only UTEP athlete who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Nobody else, just Don Maynard. But fact is, Don Maynard wasn't an all-world player at Texas Western. He wasn't. In fact, he was a good player, but he wasn't a great player. There were much better players at Texas Western. Don Maynard simply became the best receiver in professional football and broke every record possible. Aaron Jones is a record breaker. He was a record breaker at UTEP. He's had a terrific pro career. Will Aaron Jones make a Pro Football Hall of Fame? I don't know. He's still in the middle of his career. You don't know if he's going to be there like Don Maynard. But when he was at UTEP, he was a record breaker in just about every rushing category that that you have.
You know, it's interesting. I think for most sports figures, we evaluate them for what they did on the field, like Don Maynard. The things that you'll hear from him off the field were very positive. He was so involved with the community, felt like he knew everybody in the community and stuff like that, always came around, always wanted to offer up, you know, just his advice. So that's why I feel like him just being an icon and be remembered this way, it's fitting. With Aaron Jones, if he retires tomorrow, I would say he made a big stamp on this community based on just the exposure and just looking at the athletes. Look at now. You're seeing guys being recruited left and right out of El Paso. I'm not saying that's solely because of Aaron Jones, but it's because of guys like him who've given opportunities to others here in El Paso, especially at the sport of football. No one was coming to El Paso to recruit football, and now guys are going left and right, Power Five, yep, left and right here.
Good subject, George. I enjoyed it. Thanks for the call. Also appreciate Noah, who was the one that started this whole dilemma, this debate, because he brought it up and mentioned names, and that's kind of how it just springboarded into the conversation we've had over the last 20 minutes of the show.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think it's like the what-if situation, right? It's a lot of hypotheticals in this one right here, but it's fun to talk about it. And like George was saying, maybe you could do a grassroots campaign where a lot of people would be behind it, and you do a quality product, you know, when it comes to a statue like this.
That's true. That is true. 41 past the hour. As we continue here on Sports Talk. A lot more to come. Lane Frank's going to join us a little bit later, plus Chris Fernandez, so stay with us. Right now, though, we'll go to an ABC 7 News update and then come back with more in a moment. It's 600 ESPN El Paso.
Yes.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the show is underway. As you just heard, we got Adrian here. We got everybody here. Alberto here. Soon we're going to have Lane Frank as well. By the way, congratulations, and this deserves a huge congratulations, it really does, to the San Eli soccer team. They've done it again, advancing to the boys 4A state title for the fourth time in program history. That is huge. They got a PK goal yesterday in, I believe, the 92nd minute or 98th minute. 98th minute in the PK, so they beat Navasota 1-0, and they are now in to the finals. And they'll play Bourne tomorrow for the state championship. What a great story this is. San Eli boys soccer is a power.
An absolute power. Max Sappenfield, what he's done over there, head coach, has developed an absolute power. Always impressive, never surprising when they're having this kind of a run. It's just a testament to the great football and soccer that's played out there for San Eli. And yeah, it seemed like a really tight matchup. I was watching and following Brett Bloomquist's coverage of it, and then just hearing that final score from him, the 1-0, based off the PK, that's huge.
It is huge. You're right. And once again, just, happy for them. And they got a little work to do, don't they, Adrian? They're not done just yet.
Yeah, not done yet. They now go into the 4A state final, and let's see what they can do. I mean, this is a great accomplishment for the San Elizario soccer program. They've reached the top of the top before, and so now let's see if they could do it again here. 4A state final coming up.
I wouldn't bet against them, would you?
No, I would definitely not, and very proud of them. Great for the city of El Paso to have representation like this. Great for the community and San Elizario High School for having this right there, and a great run in 4A.
By the way, congratulations also to Darryl Hernaiz. He gets his first career big league hit yesterday. That was a big story in itself. Loved it. Saw the highlights. I'm not going to lie to you. It was a little weird to me because didn't you feel like the Oakland A's broadcasters, the woman who was doing the games, She completely mispronounced his name.
I didn't hear this. I didn't actually hear the coverage. I just saw the response like, wait, shouldn't the center fielder have dove for that one right there and actually made a better attempt to try to get it? But I think that was just more of a testament to how it was hit and maybe how it looked under the lights. But I didn't hear how it sounded.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw it and I was a little taken aback. Let's put it that way. I really was. I don't know. I thought that could have been a little different, but again, that maybe either we've mispronounced it forever or they have no idea what to say.
Oh, they said Hernández.
Hernández.
I hate that. No.
Listen, here's the call, folks. Let me give it to you. This was the call from yesterday's game, and I'll let you listen to it as well. Remember, this is not the visiting announcers. This is the Oakland A's announcers. This is their home team.
That's the first pitch swing for Darryl Hernández, and it's his first major league hit. Keep that baseball. And finally, he says, been working and working, and in game 12 of the 2024 season, mark it in the book.
That's NBC Sports in the Bay Area that covers the games. How do you mean... Again, are we wrong on this? Is there something we don't know for sure?
It's 100% Hernández. 100%, man. So, yeah, I mean, come on.
By the way, I think this is the radio call. Let me see if I've got the radio call, because maybe they at least know what they're doing. Hang on, here we go.
Here's Hernández. Hernández, a fly ball to right center, coming up for it. It's going to fall in for a base hit. And he picks up his first big league hit. So Hernández picks up the hit. He looks into the dugout, and you see the dugout reacting. The A's dugout, thrilled for Hernández, picks up his first big league hit. Get that baseball.
All right, so here we go. What's happened is this, okay? Either A, we've mispronounced his last name the entire time he was in El Paso, or in the big leagues, the Oakland A's have simply told their broadcasters, call him Hernández, not Hernández. So I don't understand it. But apparently, they're all referring to Darryl Hernández as Darryl Hernández.
I hate that, man. I hate that. I just, come on. It doesn't take much effort to get the pronunciation right. We do this a lot. We butcher a lot of people's names in sports. It's not just these broadcasters with Hernández. It's a lot of others. And we got to be better about this across the board.
Ask the kid. Go up to him and say, how do you pronounce your last name? And that way, you'll know.
Yeah, this is a big – I mean, I know we could probably get the word up there to them so they could adjust and get better. But at the same time, yeah, this is just – come on. When both of them are doing it, when the TV and the radio are doing it, and this is the first call, yeah, save the ball. Save the baseball. Don't save that call right there if you're Darryl Hernández.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's weird. All right, we'll keep moving along with our phones. Let's go first to Luis as we continue 8 past the hour here on Sports Talk. Shalom, Luis. What's going on?
Hello, I'm super happy. My wife Leticia Letty's birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, Letty. Very nice, very nice. What are you doing for a birthday? What kind of celebration do you have planned?
We're going to go to the Cattlemen's. We're going to have some steak and lobster and some everything, man.
My God, that sounds amazing. Steak and lobster. It's good to see that you treat Leticia like a queen. That's what she deserves.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
We've been married for jeepers 44 years altogether. We went out as boyfriend girlfriend relationship for 9 years, man. So it's been since 1978.
Excellent. I'm excited for you. That is fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you, my friend. Have you gotten all the emails that I've sent you?
Always, always, always get them. You keep me in the loop with everything. The good news is 90% of those we've talked about on the show, but there's always a couple of things that are new.
No, of course. No, no, I know that. But tell me, Steve and Adrian, who is that running back, the Texas Longhorn, that I hope that Dallas will acquire, will select?
Jonathan Brooks? Yeah?
Yeah. What do you think the chances are?
Good, because I don't think there's going to be very many running backs drafted early in this one. So, you know, if the Cowboys want to spend a second or third round pick and get one, I think that's definitely something they could do.
Beautiful. And as for an offensive lineman?
Oh, that's going to be a different story. because there are. It's a very deep draft for tackles. They're going to go off the board early. Now, that I don't know if the Cowboys are going to be able to get the quality at O-line like they probably need when it's all said and done. Because you look at guys like Joe Alt, Fashanu at Penn State, Fuaga at Oregon State. You notice, by the way, have we noticed the pattern here? Fatano at Washington, and then we've got Guyton at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
There's also Latham at Alabama, Mims
like
at
Latham.
Georgia. Yeah, there's good ones. It's going to be a deep draft for offensive tackles.
Latham is maybe the guy you get value-wise. Like, you don't necessarily have to go right away early on. You can maybe get him later on. So that's the name that I would keep an eye out if I was a Cowboys fan.
And I will end with this. I saw O.J. Simpson play, of course, with USC.
Yes.
He was fantastic. He was incredible. Too bad that he went that way, you know, the wrong way. But what can I say? May he rest in peace, man. And go Yankees. Go Yankees, man.
Appreciate the call. Luis, enjoy yourself at Cattleman's. Have a great time. Say again, Letty, happy birthday. And we'll talk to you again real soon. All right, pal? 505-6009. That is our telephone number as we continue. By the way, I downloaded the Oakland A's media guide, no pronunciation guide. I am going to look at their game notes, and I do want to see if they have a pronunciation on Darryl. And you know what? Sometimes, Adrian, it happens. Sometimes players change the way their names are pronounced. They do. I mean, look, with praise, Amehule, everybody called him Amehule to start his career.
Yeah, and then he had to correct everybody. That's exactly right. So, I mean, for Darryl Hernáiz, I would be surprised if he somehow changed the way his name is said, because that's just no one says it that way. And I also want to go back in the minor leagues. Maybe this is stemmed from the minor leagues, and they just assume that, hey, all the minor league broadcasters called him Hernáiz, so let's call him Hernáiz moving forward. So, I want to get to the bottom of this.
By the way, I want to thank Brian from downtown. He corrected me. I called it Bourne because it's spelled B-O-E-R-N-E, but it's pronounced Bernie.
Oh,
of course it's pronounced Bernie. I mean, that's just – the truth is that when you go to Central Texas, nothing is ever pronounced the way you think it would be pronounced here in El Paso.
That's very, very, very true, especially some of the names that we're just talking – like Hernáiz would be pronounced like Hernáiz in Central Texas.
It would be. And it'd probably be pronounced like that in the Bay Area too, right?
Yeah, probably so, yeah.
Yeah, you would think. Anyway, all right. And by the way, I am looking right now on the daily game notes for the Oakland A's. I do not see any pronunciation guides whatsoever. So it is possible that he just either didn't correct somebody or nobody bothered to check, because when radio and TV for the home team both call him Hernáiz as opposed to Hernáiz, it really makes you wonder.
It's not a new thing. I'm looking at old videos as well before the season started, just kind of previewing the season. And yeah, they're saying Hernáiz too. So it had to have started somewhere.
It must have. I mean, isn't it weird, though, that when he left El Paso and became a pro, his name changed in the process? Because I think every single time anybody ever talked about Darryl in El Paso as he was playing here at Americas, it was always Darryl Hernáiz.
Yeah, and I would say that I don't put a lot of the blame on the player in this situation. Sometimes it's a lack of preparation by the person, and the player is just so nice that they don't want to correct people, or they think, oh, it's hard to pronounce, so that's okay. I'll accept that. You could just say it that way, and maybe it's not a big deal to him. So maybe if we had this conversation with Darryl, he'd say, look, man, I'm just worried about playing baseball. I don't really care how my name is pronounced. So you know, I'm just curious to see where this all stemmed from.
Yes. All right. Anyway, I'm kind of curious, too. 14 past the hour as we continue here on Sports. Maybe somebody needs to talk to him and just, you know, get the correct pronunciation.
I'll text him. He always texts back.
Oh, he does?
He always texts back.
Really?
Yes. I texted him when he made it to the show, when he got his first hit, and he always texts back.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'll shoot him a text.
Find out and do me a favor.
Yeah.
Tell him to record his voice and give us the correct pronunciation of his last name from his voice so we know we're doing it justice.
Yes, I like it. Let's do it. Maybe I'll do that.
Is it even pronounced Hernaez or is it Ednaez?
Ednaez. That's Ednaez. Exactly right.
So the
exactly
H is right. Not even really, it's just more like Ednaez.
That's correct. All yeah. Right. There you go. I like it, Steve.
There we are. Well, we always usually say Hernaez here, but now we know Ednaez as we continue at 15 past the hour on Sports Talk. All right. Lane Frank is en route. We'll get a chance to talk to him. Chris Fernandez a little bit later in the show. So we'll have a good final hour and 45 minutes with you. But first, let's go to Charlie One and get ourselves this traffic update. An interview that the Oakland A's announcer did with Daryl and his dad, Juan. And in the process, Daryl introduces his dad and uses the last name that everybody's saying right now in the big leagues. Here, listen to this.
Sprinter, athlete, supposedly a better athlete than his son. Introduce your father.
Yeah, Juan Hernaez, beast of an athlete.
Juan Hernaez. I don't know. I mean, maybe they decided to Americanize it for Major League Baseball, but it's confusing right now. I'm totally confused. Did El Paso really spend like the last 3-4 years with Daryl and everybody here completely just butchered his last name and now he goes up to the big leagues and he's suddenly Daryl Hernaez?
This is really weird. I don't choose to accept that. I choose to accept that he probably Americanized it because felt like maybe people couldn't pronounce his last name correctly.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, and I don't think that's right. But I do believe that could happen. I'm not ruling out that possibility, man.
Look, I mean, even if you don't say Ednaez and you say Hernaez, as long as you've got the basis of the pronunciation, the I and the E's in the same thing, you're fine. Instead of Hernaez, like Bernays sauce that you put on a steak. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. I'll say this one last thing on this point. I'm just going to text him to get set the record straight.
And find out what's going on and why everybody's calling his last name. Yes. See, why is everybody referring to your last name different than everybody in El Paso did for like the last five, 6 years?
I already shot off the text and I said I'm going crazy about this topic right here. So I'm sorry if this doesn't really matter to you, but I really need to know. I need to hear just a quick audio message.
We all need to know. This is important stuff. I mean, he's in the show. He got his first hit last night. And everybody around Major League Baseball is referring to his last name differently than everybody in El Paso did. I listened to an Andy Morgan interview that he did about 4 or 5 years ago, and Hernaez, that's how everybody called him for so many years around here.
Yeah, and I would tell you also, I mean, I've not heard Hernaez until today. This is the first time I've heard it, and I've followed a lot of the Daryl Hernaez conversation all spring ball and then going into the season. Again, it's a great opportunity for us to celebrate somebody who went to El Paso and then had a chance to actually play in the big leagues.
Lane has arrived for his weekly visit with us. We're going to bring him in a moment. Schoolyard Sports podcast number 164 drops tonight, and as Lane said, it is a mega show. I can't wait to have him back, find out exactly what he's got in store for everybody for 168, as here he is, Mr. Schoolyard Sports himself, who can pick any chair he wants. Just, you've got three to choose from, three microphones, three headsets. Go ahead. Pick one, whichever one you like. Ah, there you go. That's hang on. Let me figure out what mic you're on. I think that's mic two.
Yes, mic two.
Go ahead.
Okay, we're good?
We are good.
Great to be back.
Good to have you back.
Good to be back, guys.
By the way, did you always think it was Daryl Hernaez like the rest of us and not Daryl Hernaez as they're calling him after his first big league hit yesterday with Oakland?
I thought it was Hernaez.
Hernaez? Well, it's A and I. So it would, if it was I-A-Z, I would say
Daryl
okay.
Hernaez is what I used to call him.
Yeah, it's Hernaez, but okay. It's okay. But apparently it's Daryl Hernaez. We found that out during his first big league hit yesterday, both the A's radio and TV calling him Hernaez. So we're all confused. Everybody, that's the beauty of this. Guy gets his first hit, and we don't even know who this guy is because everybody's pronouncing his name differently than we all did. So it's interesting. How are things going with you?
Pretty good. Just got out of practice, came here as soon as I could.
Excellent. I heard 164 for Schoolyard Sports is epic. Tell us a little bit about what you have going on.
It's going to be a great episode. We're going to be recapping the national championship game. It might even be out right now. Haven't checked since I got home from practice. So we have national championship recap, MLB, a lot to talk about there. And the big announcement at the end, I'm signing with Believe Network for the Schoolyard Sports for the future.
Are you really?
I am.
The Believe Network.
BLEAV.
tell us about Believe. Is it Believe or Believe? How does it probably pronounce it?
They say it like Believe and Believe. So okay. Say it like that.
Tell us about the Believe Network and what it's going to be all about for you.
Well, they've got a bunch of podcasts. They've got podcasts with 150 professional athletes. They have one for each NFL team. Great stuff over there. Many celebrities. It's a great network. Couldn't have, find a better place for Squared Sports.
Did they approach you about this?
They did. So it's been great.
How great is that? You didn't even have to approach them. They came to you about this.
For sure. Definitely thank you to DB Podcast, my production company, for working with this. So we'll work with them and Believe in the future. It's all great. We're
excellent.
Excited for it.
I'm checking it out. It actually is live right now, Lane. Did you know that the podcast app now transcribes the entire podcast? So I can find the exact moment where you say that you are starting with Believe Network Sports Media Company?
I don't know if that worked for me. I talk a little too fast.
I'm looking at it right now. I see exactly what you say, man. I say now the question of the day.
It's probably better on the video because I signed the contract on video.
Oh, do you really?
I do.
Oh, wow. So in other words, the decision for you to go to Believe is actually on the podcast.
I felt like LeBron taking my talents to Believe.
You should be. That's good. Does this mean you're going to start wearing Believe? Do they have gear? Or did you ask them when they told you they want to bring you on board, are they going to be sending you merch?
We'll figure all that out. Do have a big announcement. Another one, though. Signed my first sponsorship deal with Dave's Hot Chicken yesterday. We got a big episode coming up with them.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go.
So things are on the up and up for Squared Sports.
Wait a minute. You actually are sponsored now.
Now we have a sponsor of the show.
Dave's Hot Chicken.
Yep.
Good for you. I'm excited about that. Adrian.
Yes.
He's so
amazing.
He's so far ahead of the curve. It's ridiculous.
You know, this is like when you... You know, you teach everything to the student, they do it, and then they just tell you, hey, I aced the LSAT, and I just scored a 165, you know, on the LSAT. So I'm very happy for Lane. And Lane, I'll tell you, I just had Dave's Hot Chicken recently. Your new sponsor is fantastic.
Man, it's incredible. We had our tennis tournament last week. Let's say it's not the best thing to eat right before a match, but it was great.
Maybe it's the best thing to eat after a match.
Yeah, definitely that. Not before a match.
I can imagine. That's good. All right, that's a big announcement. Does this mean that they're going to have like product placement on the Schoolyard Sports episodes? What's going to happen? Will you be eating Dave's Hot Chicken every single time you're on hosting the podcast?
I don't know about every time. Maybe next week's episode. We got a big thing planned with them. Go tune into that when it comes out. 165 okay. Next Thursday.
I'm looking forward to that. That is great news. Congratulations to you. UConn, they did it. Are you surprised, or is that what you picked at the start of the tournament?
Definitely not what I picked at the start of the tournament. Really just a great turnaround from the season they had. Because I thought at the start of the season, okay, you have a bad loss to Kansas, bad loss to Seton Hall. This doesn't really look like a championship team. They're running the Big East, but I thought they would fall to Marquette. They didn't fall to Marquette. I thought they would fall to Auburn and NCAA tournament. Auburn didn't win a single game of the tournament. And they just kept on winning and winning and winning, and now they're champions.
And by the way, they only had three losses during the regular season. You mentioned Seton Hall in Kansas. They lost to Creighton. That was it. Other than that, they had a terrific year. And how about the fact that they didn't only just win back-to-back championships, but I looked at this. UConn was never really tested last year as a four seed when they ended up rolling through and winning it all. They won, I think, every game was by double digits.
They've won every game, past 12 tournament games by double digits.
And then this year, same thing. It was like they picked up right where they left off, and they destroyed pretty much everybody in the second half, and none of these games were close, including the Purdue game.
Yeah, Daniel Hurley is an amazing head coach. He's going to look great in blue.
Oh, you really think that Danny Hurley is leaving UConn?
$3 million to $10 million? I don't think he has a choice at that point.
You really think he's going to Kentucky?
I really do.
I don't. He said he already said he's happy. He doesn't want to go.
He said that in the past.
Yes, he has. So you think now? Question: if Kentucky throws $10 million at Danny Hurley, and he takes the money and he goes to Lexington, does Kamani Young become the next head coach at UConn?
I'll go with they get an outside hire. I think they get an outside hire. Last time they hired Kevin Ollie, which was interim, and you know he won a national championship. And that thing started to fall off. I don't think they go the interim route. I think they'll get a big name. Maybe Jay Wright. That'd be a good name to look out for that UConn job.
That'd be wild. The question is this, though. Does Jay Wright even want to come back to college basketball? He left for a reason. He didn't want to deal with the portal. He didn't want to deal with NIL, where the game was going. Now it's worse than ever. I don't even think Jay Wright has any interest in getting back in. Why do you want to deal with all that? He didn't want to a few years ago. Why now?
Because at UConn, he can run the program the way he wants to. He won't have to do NIL that much. I mean, this UConn team isn't built on NIL. Tristan Newton isn't some big NIL guy. Yes, he's transfer portal, but he's not the biggest NIL guy. When you think about it, Jay Wright's a great talent developer for NBA. I mean, look at the New York Knicks. You have Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, and Dante DiVincenzo all on the same Villanova team, now all in the NBA. Produced great NBA talent from guys that weren't five stars. Mikal Bridges, Eric Paschal, Jalen Brunson. So I really think Jay Wright's a great head coach, will come back to the Big East with UConn.
We don't know how much UConn money they have for NIL, but chances are, winning back-to-back national championships, they have money. I mean, it's not like they're just not going to spend and say, come play with us because we're UConn. More than likely, they have an opportunity to have spent and invested. We just don't have totals like other schools that are in the millions. Does UConn have millions of dollars? Probably they do. It wouldn't surprise me. A lot of wealthy people out there in the Connecticut area who attended the school, and they know with those back-to-back titles what it takes. Plus, with NIL, boosters can now be, they can be impacted. They can make it happen, unlike before.
For sure, but UConn isn't a university that has any revenue outside of basketball. Yes, they have a decent group of five football team, but it's not a program like Kentucky where you're going to have this much money.
Yeah, but think about this too, okay? You go for that money. You know what comes with that money, right? Pressure, pressure, more pressure. So you say to yourself, and I'll use Billy Gillespie as a great example. Had Billy Gillespie stayed at Texas A&M, he would have been king forever. Built that program up into a top 20, top 15 team. They were getting better and better and better. And they had never had success in basketball until he arrived. And what did he do? Instead of staying there and being a legend at College Station and never leaving, he took the money, went to Kentucky. 2 years later, he's gone. And then other than that one season at Texas Tech, and now he's out at Tarleton State, Billy Gillespie is kind of a name from the, is a thing of the past. I mean, now he's a, you know, he's not the guy he once was. That's what Kentucky did to him. It chewed him up and it spit him out. And I look at a situation like Danny Hurley. He's an East Coast guy. He already has his millions of dollars. He's done well. You don't, I mean, I get it, right? You're tripling your salary. But you're made out there at UConn. You got a great program. You're not hurting for cash. You're making $3 million a year. Why leave that for what you know is going to be a completely different situation where boosters and supporters are going to be down his throat if he's not winning? Why do you want the aggravation and the hassle when you already have potentially a dynasty you're building out there at Storrs, Connecticut?
I think at a certain point, Kentucky can't get a coach, and they just have to throw everything at Danny Hurley to where there's no point. You can say no.
He'll say no.
I don't think so.
All right. Adrian, your thoughts?
I would just say that nothing is forever in college sports. To Lane's point, whether it's this year or next year, I think Hurley, to just have the lifetime deal or to be there forever or maybe be there even in the next 5 years, unrealistic to say, just knowing how much change and how much turnover happens at the coaching position in college basketball.
All right, bottom of the hour as we continue. More with Lane and more sports talk, but first let's send it right back to Adrian standing by with his SportsCenter update.
Thank you very much, Steve. Let's head over to the baseball scoreboard right now. Then we'll check out some NBA scores and then wrap it up with some Masters talk. Top of the fourth out in Philadelphia, no score between the Pirates and the Phillies. Although in this matchup, Pittsburgh's got a runner on second here at the top of the fourth, trying to get at least a run on the board. Red Sox up early against the Orioles, 2-0, top of the second going on right now. From earlier today, how about Tyrone Taylor, who crushed a pinch hit grand slam in the ninth inning for the Mets? They won 16-4 today on the road against the Braves. The Royals tallying 9 runs in a blistering first inning for the Astros. Kansas City wins today 13-3. And the Astros, by the way, they dropped to 4-10 overall. How about Seth Brown? He had a homer to put the A's on the board and help them win in this one. A's get it done on the road against the Rangers, 1-0. Brewers Reds was postponed, and so was Twins Tigers. Both of those will be made up in 2 days. Let's go over to the NBA scoreboard right now. Going over to Detroit, the Bulls lead the Pistons 29-24. Vucevic leads the way for Chicago with 9 points in this matchup. A minute to go here in the first quarter. Coming up on TNT, it's a doubleheader, and it starts off with the Knicks. They're 47-32. They are traveling to Boston to take on the Celtics. Celtics, by the way, 35-3 at home at TD Garden. This one takes place here shortly after this matchup. It's the Pelicans taking on the Kings. This one has NBA seeding implications when it comes to the playoffs, and this one tips off at 8 o'clock coming up after that Knicks-Celtics matchup. That's a look at your SportsCenter update for 600 ESPN El Paso. I'm Adrian Broaddus.
Adrian, thank you very much. We're with Lane Frank, the host of Schoolyard Sports, as we continue here on Sports Talk. Waiting to see what happens with Tiger, and hopefully we'll keep tabs on his round, and he's still one under as we speak. Do you like the Masters? Is this, would you like to eventually go out to Augusta and see this firsthand?
Would definitely love to go out to Augusta. I mean, I love watching the Masters. This is real action right here.
It is. Is this for you the golf tournament you look forward to the most?
For sure.
Okay.
The only one I watch, but I know all the golfers.
Have you ever been to a PGA Tour event?
Never been to a PGA Tour event. What about you?
No. But it's on it's on my list of things I'd like to do.
You know what's one I want to go to when I'm older? Waste Management.
Mm.
Oh, we got to be quiet. Tiger's about to sink this.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Tiger is on. Tiger does have some difficulty here on his second
on
shot.
On par
three. Let's see if we're seeing.
Oh, no. Oh, not terrible.
No, but that's.
He can get a par there.
He can par that. That's probably less
tough
than
putt
feet.
For par. Let's see if he'll get it.
All right.
A little bump and run there, guys.
Well, he was in a bad spot. As Lane said, Tiger Woods was in the woods for that little chip out to try to get there and try to save par.
Hey, Lane, you're a sports fashion guy. Do you like the new brand for Tiger Woods?
Sunday Red. I mean, it looks sick. I definitely want to get Sunday brand hat. Sunday Red hat.
You do.
It's all right, a cool brand.
So
great
when you
idea.
Saw, so when you saw Sunday Red, you were ready to go. Because I don't think we've ever seen Tiger wearing a salmon shirt on the first day of a major.
Oh, no, definitely not. It's going to be cool seeing him wear red on Sunday.
Yeah, it is. And I think, as Adrian said, the brand comes out. It releases May 1st. Are you on the list for Sunday Red?
I'm not on the list for Sunday Red, but maybe I shall up on it.
Okay. So we continue right here on Sports Talk. So, Purdue, you tell me, Zach Edey, have you seen enough to think that he could be a good pro in the NBA?
I mean, sure, he's 7'5". There's not many 7-foot guys walking around this earth, let alone that good at basketball. So I think he'll definitely get a roster spot, or he'll be the best player in Europe. I just don't think he's a starter on any NBA team or a lottery pick.
Tell me why. What does he lack that in
I
your
do think
opinion,
he's valuable though off the bench.
So do you see him as a top 15? Draft pick, or do you think he's one of those guys that goes like bottom one, second round?
Second round, that's fine. I mean, there's plenty of guys who are starting now that went second round. Look at Draymond Green. Look at last year, 58 overall pick, Trayce Jackson Davis, starting center for the Golden State Warriors as a rookie.
Yeah.
Maybe see that progress for Zach Edey.
But here's the funny thing, okay? Donovan Clingan is now considered a top three prospect.
Because Donovan Clingan's amazing and he's young and he's versatile, unlike Zach Edey.
And then when you look at a guy like Tristan Newton, okay, MVP of the Final Four, but he's 23 years of age, and some of us wonder, will Tristan Newton even be drafted in these two rounds?
Look, he's a point guard who can get triple-doubles, which is obviously great in today's NBA. He's not just a shooter, he's not just a passer, he's an all-around player, which I think is great if he wants to go overseas, and even if he wants a chance to play in the NBA. Someone like Marcus Sasser is a good example right here. Someone had a great college career, nobody really thought he could do much in the NBA. He's been pretty solid so far with the Detroit Pistons. I think Tristan Newton maybe takes that trajectory.
By the way, as far as Tristan goes, you said it, but there's also bias towards older college players. For whatever reason, it does seem like some teams, if you're not 20 or 21 years old, some NBA teams want nothing to do with you because there are guys that have been in the league 3 or 4 years that are the same age as Tristan Newton is now.
I think people forget that. Maybe, what do you say, a senior to a freshman, it's really only a 3-year, 2-year age gap. At that point, it's not the biggest deal. They still have time to develop. They still can develop. Let's watch Tiger sink this putt right here.
Give me a little play-by-play here.
Here we go. Going, in.
I like that play-by-play. Going, in. That is exactly how you call the action on the radio. Good for you.
That was incredible, and he stays that par.
Yep. I mean, and by the way, Tiger Woods playing this weekend at Augusta, that's what we all want, right? That's the ultimate, is having an opportunity to see Tiger Woods Saturday and Sunday at the Masters.
That's what we want to see. I don't know if Tiger can play all 4 days, but let's hope.
I hope so, is what it's all about. All right, before we come back from the break, I want to ask you this, too, since we've been talking about O.J. Simpson today. I know O.J.'s news and his legacy long before you were around. So for someone like yourself, you're now, what, a sophomore in high school?
Sophomore in high school.
All right. When you hear the name O.J. Simpson, what will first come to mind for you? And don't hold back. Let me hear.
A great running back.
Okay. So when you hear O.J. Simpson, you will think about him as a guy that was one of the best running backs in the NFL during his playing days.
I know my mom's listening right now. She's probably super upset at that answer. But, I mean, 2,000 yards in 14 games. What was it? I think it was that.
1973. Yeah. With the Buffalo Bills.
That's a pretty good running back.
It's a very good running back. All right. What do you think your mom wanted you to say?
Probably something different, but O.J. Simpson, legendary running back. Let's go with that. They don't build them like him anymore.
They don't. Pro Football Hall of Famer. That's very true.
Averaged 173 yards a game, something like that, Lane?
Yeah, 173 is pretty amazing when you start to think about it.
It's pretty criminal rushing stats right there.
Yeah, you know what they called the Buffalo Bills? The Electric Company.
For more about that, I mean, just look up O.J. Simpson criminal. Those stats were criminal.
Oh, that's good. Now do you think that your mom's happier now? Do you feel like now she's like, okay, thank you, Lane. You did exactly what I was hoping you would do.
No, but we got some more laughs in there, maybe. Great okay. running back.
That's great.
Criminally right. good.
Very much so. We'll come back, wrap up hour number two with Lane. Episode 164 dropping now right here, 600 ESPN El Paso. Big fans of the last segment when we were talking about O.J. That was something they were running to chime in on. Luckily, they didn't call into the program, but Lane's been hearing about that during the break. So, you know, I mean, let's be honest. Your parents are old enough to where they might not have remembered O.J. from his playing days, but they knew O.J. from his acting days and all the post-NFL stuff that happened. So, and that's the hardest part is there are people that are old enough to remember when he was at USC. Remember when he played for the Buffalo Bills? I think he finished with the 49ers, if I'm not mistaken.
You seem to know a lot about O.J.
I do, because he torched the Jets his whole career. So, yeah, as a Jet fan, I've got memories of him running over them in the snow and basically becoming the best running back in the game because he played them twice a year and would always kill their defense. So, yeah, know him very well from those days.
What was
Plus, I'm a big fan of the Naked Gun.
What was faster, his car or him on that chase away? So, let's see, O.J. Simpson open field or O.J. Simpson on the chase?
I would go on the field because he didn't drive the car. He was a passenger in the car.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. In fact, A.J. Cowing, his buddy, drove the car in the chase. So, he was never the one behind the wheel.
You still remember the names. That's how big this was.
It was the biggest story in the country for years. Yeah, we knew the names. Everybody that lived it knew it. We all did. And like I said earlier,
you know a lot about it.
See, I don't know if your parents were listening when I started the show talking about this. I'm most upset that Bronco chase happened while the Knicks were playing the Rockets in the NBA Finals in 1994. So I'm finally getting a chance to see the Knicks hopefully win their first championship since the year I was born. And what happens? I have to watch this this chase going on the screen, and they took the game off.
They took the game off to OJ?
Yes. The game went into like a little small part of the corner, and then everybody was talking about this chase and what was going on. And I'm like, I don't care about this. Put the game back. I want to see if the Knicks can beat the Rockets that game. I don't need to see this this car chase. That was my biggest takeaway.
Yeah, but now you got a lot of knowledge about O.J. Simpson.
I do. More than I need. That is very true. Let's talk some baseball.
Let's definitely talk some baseball. Get off. O.J. Simpson never played baseball. So
no, he didn't. O.J. Simpson did not play baseball, but the Yankees are coming out of the gate pretty strong so far. They lost to the Marlins last night, but they've got 10 wins so far. What impresses you the most about New York?
Juan Soto. I mean, he's uplifted every single part of this team. He's been amazing. Let's keep him in pinstripes forever.
Aaron Judge is starting to struggle in a big way. Are you concerned about that?
I'm not really concerned about that because Judge will figure it out, and Stanton is on fire. Juan Soto is on fire. Eventually, Judge will get it going. Volpe is playing like the best second-year player. I mean, it's been amazing.
Yeah, the Yankees, I mean, everything's been going right for them. And remember, this is also without Gerrit Cole, their best pitcher, who's going to miss the majority, if not the whole season.
They've got good pitching still, though. It's still working for them. Now, I don't know about playoffs, if everything can uphold. But the way Soto's playing, the way Volpe's playing, it's been great.
You excited about Jackson Holliday, who made his debut yesterday?
Yeah, you know, he didn't look great yesterday. It kind of seemed like a forced call-up. I think he could have played in AAA a little bit longer, a few more months, called him up after the All-Star break. But it's, I mean, he's going to be great in his MLB career. I just don't know about this season.
Somebody said that he never should have started AAA to begin with. He had a terrific spring training with Baltimore, was hitting home runs and doing a little bit of everything, and deserved to make the team out of spring training. It's so difficult to get a sample size of one game to really justify whether a person should be up right now or not.
Well, the reason why I didn't get called up out of spring training was because service time. If they call him up right then, that starts his MLB clock right then. They've only got 7 years to give him that extension, and I think they've got 8 years to give him that extension.
Yeah, I feel like nowadays the service clock is not as big as it was maybe 5-10 years ago. I feel like now teams are more willing to bring players up when they deserve it. Look, Wyatt Langford had a great spring. He made the team, and he hasn't exactly been killing it with Texas, but he's a rookie right now with the Rangers. Same thing goes for Jackson Churio in Milwaukee. Same thing goes for, you know, a few of these ball players that as rookies are getting their shot early on.
You know, I think the best new thing I love in MLB is the trend of giving minor league players big contract extensions so you don't have to pay them $500 million. Jackson Churio has an 8-year, $150 million extension. Now, I think in 5 years, Jackson Churio could play into a $400 million type player, but he has that extension, so they don't need to spend money on him. They will have enough money to spend on other guys. Maybe they get rid of Yelich. The problem with some of these teams is they go big for that one player, and they can't get anybody else. They're not doing that right here. Jackson Churio, same thing goes for Corbin Carroll. He also has his minor league big contract extension because good for the player. Why would I decline 7 years, $150 million, but also maybe I can get $300 million down the line? Nah, I'll just take this right now in the minors.
Meanwhile, all the pitching injuries we're having, all the Tommy John surgeries and all the guys getting hurt, blaming the pitch clock in Major League Baseball. That never seemed to be an issue in AAA. We never saw Chihuahuas games where pitchers threw and then all of a sudden hurt their arms and had to have Tommy John surgery because they were rushing their deliveries in AAA games. But now that's what big leaguers are talking about. They are blaming the pitch clock. Give me your take on that.
I mean, I don't think it goes for everybody. I'm looking at this right now. Mason Miller, pitcher for the Athletics today. 102, 102, 102, 103, 104, 103, 103. He threw that many pitches above 100 miles an hour. There's more on here. This guy was throwing lights out, didn't get injured. So I wouldn't say exactly that. It's the pitch clock, why they can't throw hard. It's the pitch clock, why these guys are getting injured. It's the velocity that they're trying to go to. No.
What do you think it is?
Well, I think the issue is maybe too many guys who don't have the ability to throw that hard, trying to throw that hard. A guy who's 6 foot. Doesn't need to throw 100 miles an hour. They can throw a nasty curveball, nasty slider. You're not going to throw 100 miles an hour. This guy, Mason Miller, is about 6 foot five. That's why he's throwing this well. Jacob DeGrom's big enough to throw that well. A guy like Trevor Bauer, who doesn't throw that well, that's why he's smart. Doesn't get that many Tommy John injuries, at least when he started playing in his career. Throws about 93, 94. He's an example I like to use. But another guy like Jordan Hicks, he gets injured a lot because he likes to throw 103, 104, and he's not the biggest guy out there.
As a starter, Jordan Hicks saw his velocity dip about 10 miles an hour from when he was a reliever.
Because he had to, or else his career would fall off a cliff. His arm would fall off a cliff.
Yeah, and the Giants are now trying him out as a starter, and so far, so good.
He's been pretty good, so.
Interesting. All right, again, if you just missed the big announcement that Lane has, you have signed with a brand new podcast company. Tell us about that, and tell us about your new sponsor that's jumped on board.
Signing with Believe Network, great podcast company. They have podcasts over 150 professional athletes. It's great. We're going to be hopping over there for Scored Sports, and did sign a sponsorship deal with Dave's Hot Chicken. So great stuff coming up for Scored Sports.
Man, oh man, it's so great. And every time you send to make that announcement, I look at Adrian and we're just, yes. we're in awe of him right now, aren't we?
We are so impressed. And Steve, this is a great tease, but I got a text back from Daryl Hernays.
It's Hernays.
Hernays.
So we screwed his name up for years in El Paso. How does
I need
happen?
To ask him. I'm going to call him in this break.
You need to find out what's going on. All right, you get to the bottom of this. Great to see you. We'll see you back next week. Episode 164 drops tonight. I also want to thank our sponsors, and that is River Oaks Properties. Not only does River Oaks manage shopping centers all over El Paso, but they've got some of the nicest facilities, nicest shopping centers in town, and a lot of them are opening up right now in Far East El Paso.
Including the Dave's Hot Chicken out there.
That's right. Oh, I wonder how this one happened. That's... good. We'll talk about that during the break, okay? We'll see. By the way, you bringing Dave's Hot Chicken into the show next week when you come by?
We can do it. We can get it done.
Are you?
Want it done?
What's that?
You want Dave's Hot Chicken on this show next week?
Well, they're sponsoring you.
Got to get the Dave's Hot Chicken in before Passover. There we go.
That's true, and that starts, I think, a week from Sunday, right? A week from Monday.
Week from Monday.
So we've got time. You got one more week to try to make that happen.
We got one more week.
All right. Good stuff as always. Congratulations on everything you've been doing. Congrats on Believe. Congrats on Dave's Hot Chicken. Tennis career at Coronado going okay?
Pretty good. Got a tournament tomorrow. Be playing at Horizon.
What are you right now? Are you the number one doubles team?
For mixed doubles tomorrow. First time playing mixed doubles tomorrow, but I'll be number one. Yep.
Who's your mixed doubles partner?
Girl on team. It'll be good.
You have no information who you're playing with. You're mixed doubles. You've never played. Have you ever played mixed doubles before?
I've never played mixed doubles before. I actually don't know who I'm playing with yet, so we'll figure that out.
How does your coach not tell you before the match tomorrow who you're teaming up with? Have you ever practiced with anybody, any females on the team?
For sure, but he'll tell us in the morning the exact lineup.
How talented is the girls' tennis team at Coronado?
We've got a great tennis team at Coronado all around.
Okay, so it's solid. So what you're telling me is no matter who they pair you up with, you're going to be fine.
We're going to be fine. We're going to win.
All right. Good stuff. We'll see you next week.
Appreciate it, guys.
You got it. There he is, Lane Frank. Comes in like a tornado, leaves the same way. We'll find out more as we continue. Final hour next. Chris Fernandez, one half of Laying Down the Law. He's in town. He's going to join us in studio as we continue.
Here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Welcome back, everybody. We continue here on the show. Enjoyed it. Lane Frank. Always fun when he stops by. I just checked out the menu, by the way. Dave's that place looks legit. Do you go medium or hot on those sliders? What do you do?
Okay, so the sandwich that I had, yeah. I went the medium.
Yeah,
I could go maybe it's just a couple notches up, maybe just a little bit more
maybe
spiciness
to hot.
I heard it when you go the hot ones, it's really hot, like real, like not even eatable hot.
Could you, was medium, like did you at least taste the heat or no?
You tasted the heat and it was nice. It was just
comfortable.
Right. Comfortable. Like okay. If you didn't want it too spicy, I need it just a little bit of a notch up, but yes, I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Got it. All right. That sounds like fun, man. What a segue. Chris Fernandez back with us in town from Austin. And anytime we get to see the Laying Down the Law guys here in the studio, we're excited. Chris is going to be joining Adrian and the Foss in a couple of weeks in Detroit for the NFL Draft and our NFL Draft coverage while I stay back here at our 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Properties Schoolyard Sports Studios. Welcome back, Chris. How you doing?
I am doing great. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Hey, I'm excited. You got to sit in and enjoy the last segment with Lane and get to meet him for the first time.
Definitely enjoyed it. I've heard him on the radio several times, you know, hanging out with you guys, but getting to hear him in studio was awesome.
Well, listen.
He's a very impressive young man.
I couldn't agree with you more. We love having him on weekly. He's a lot of fun, and he balanced that off with his regular life, which includes playing high school tennis and everything else he's doing with the podcast and school as a sophomore right now at Coronado.
Coronado.
It's fun.
Yeah. Hey, good for him. He's doing great.
Absolutely right. Meanwhile, you tell us a little bit about how is Laying Down the Law going right now since we last saw you at the Super Bowl out in Vegas. What are things like right now for the show with you and Foss?
Well, we're getting ready to we've got baseball started with the Missions out in San Antonio. Also got in Central Texas, we've got the Round Rock Express. Steve and I have been to the Houston Open. Didn't get to make that one, but we did make the Valero last week.
Okay, how was the Valero?
It was good. We spent most of the time in the Lexus cabana.
Of course you did. I love it.
You know, Steve always has a way to get us situated in a place where we have shade and a plethora of food and drink.
I can see him walking.
Yes.
Like he was walking in Vegas.
Yeah, it was, and he was. He was limping. He's got that little issue with his hip, but hey, he was full force. We enjoyed it. It was a good time.
Have you been up to that Lexus area before, or is that the first time?
It is my third time there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like if you're going to go to a tournament, that's the place to be.
That's the place to be. It's a couple good holes, one coming in, one going out. So
unlimited food and beverages?
We had prime rib.
Get out.
Prime rib, and if you didn't want prime rib, you had hot dogs and hamburgers.
I think everybody should take the prime rib in that case.
A lot of folks did, but there was a lot of hot dogs and hamburgers going too. And, of course, they had a case full of ice cream, which you know the Foss likes his ice cream. So the strawberry shortcake ice creams he was indulging in.
Open bar or cash bar?
Open bar.
Oh, my God. That sounds fantastic.
It was awesome.
Good
it always
for you
is.
Guys. That's
and a good tournament.
Yeah.
Had a playoff at the end, so it was good.
Were you there on Sunday?
We were there on Sunday.
Oh, so you were there for the last round. Even better.
We were there for the last round. Unfortunately, we left a little early because we were up early on the air in San Antonio that morning. So we had to get back on the road to get back to Austin.
Oh, did you actually broadcast from the Valero Open?
No, we went to studio.
Oh, you did?
We were in studio.
Okay. But you guys don't broadcast in studio all that often, right? Mostly it's from Austin.
Yeah, we're trying now to get in studio a lot more, maybe once or twice a month.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. So let's catch up on all the things we've missed since we've last spoken to you. First off, most recent, UConn win the national title. Reaction to that?
Awesome. You know, to get to see Tristan play 2 years in a row, make the and win the championship, it was awesome. I honestly didn't choose them to win.
Who was your team?
I chose Houston. But that didn't work. So, but good getting to see them go back and win was exciting. It was a good game.
Before Baylor won the national title, when you knew that Texas Western was the only school in the state of Texas to win a national championship, how big a deal was that for you as a native El Paso?
It's huge. I mean, it's huge to see a small school like Texas Western go back, especially back in that day, and win the way they did with the roster that they won with, and become national champions against not only one of the greatest teams that ever played, mm-hmm. but one of the greatest coaches that ever coached. And for Don Haskins to take those young men and play Texas Western basketball and win the national championship, it's huge. It's huge. Any native El Pasoan has got to be extremely proud about that. That record stood for so long.
There's no doubt about it. We got a caller on the line. You ready to say hello to a mystery caller?
Sure.
Any idea who this is?
No idea.
All right. I'll give you one guess. If you had to pick one individual that would call into the show right now, who do you think it is?
Foss.
Who is this mystery caller?
He's absolutely correct.
Ah.
There he is.
That's good.
The second half. Well, actually, the first half. I'm the second half.
Yeah, he's the OG.
He is the OG.
I figured that as soon as we started talking about the Lexus, area at the Valero, that's when Foss would call in. That's like right on cue. That is perfect.
Life is too short, Cappy, to go anything less than VIP from here on out for you, Chris, me, and Adrian.
I agree with you.
I agree 100%.
By the way, how'd you pull off that? How'd you pull off the Lexus suite? What'd you do?
It's just been over, you've seen me with the relationship building. And,
yes.
You know, it's great to support the athletics, the players, the coaches, the organizations, and everyone who puts on events. And I do. I have shared El Paso throughout the international dateline down in Australia. Had the opportunity to go there for a month, everywhere. You know, East Coast, Midwest. West Coast, and I just think we are a group of folks in a city in Texas, in the United States, that have been that way. Most people from our city are hospitable.
Mm-hmm. You're right. By the way, what was more impressive for you, the prime rib at the Lexus hospitality area or the strawberry shortcake ice cream?
I love the ice cream, man.
I told you.
With the ice cream. Because, if you don't know, I went to school in Nebraska, and that Omaha beef and the prime rib that they had when I was a grad assistant and very fortunate and opportunistic to have pregame meals before home games, that was some good. I don't usually eat prime rib, but that prime rib is from some of the best parts of the country.
Truth be told, I don't think either Steve or myself had prime. I know I didn't, and I think we just had hot dogs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you guys didn't choose the prime rib. You guys went for the hot dogs.
Yep.
All right. Were those good?
Yeah. All right. Big. And hamburgers were good, too.
That sounds good.
There's nothing bad in the Lexus Club.
No, everything was good there.
Next year, we're going to come and visit. Adrian and I are going to go visit you guys at the Lexus Club. Just tell me you want four instead of two next year, okay?
Oh, done.
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 And done.
Done and done.
It'll be my first PGA Tour event. I'll be excited about
really?
That. Oh, yeah. Never been to one.
Oh, wow. That'll be awesome.
We need to do that. It'd be a lot of
definitely.
Fun.
Definitely. Yeah, I'll look forward to that.
We do have, that's a local one. And the guys on the weekday shows, they're out there and whatnot. But I tell you what, we get treated extremely well by the folks who put on the tournament, who are the PGA officials. They're very welcoming. they've allowed us to do a lot, see a lot, and go to a lot of the places there at the TPC San Antonio on that Oaks course.
Let me tell you this. I couldn't care less about the weekday guys out there at ESPN San Antonio. I don't care about them. All I care about is you guys. That's it. You're the only two that matter to me, not them.
That's right.
So,
No, I'm just saying. You know, they have a good rapport as well because they're out there during the week. I'm just saying we come out as well, and, you know, we spend a few days, at least two, each year or more, and we put in time, and we're very plugged in. We're interested in what goes on. Let me brag about the Valero Texas Open. You know, they're the highest grossing PGA Tour event for charitable donations nationwide.
Wow.
And it's unbelievable the support that that tournament has been doing and what the folks do in San Antonio. I'll tell you another quick fact. They, in San Antonio, hold the largest MLK march in the country.
Really?
Put your head around that one. Yes.
I would never have guessed that. That's incredible, too. Steve Foster and Chris Fernandez. It's Laying Down the Law here with Foss on the phone lines. He's on the Longhorn Distributing Hotline right now. And Chris is with us inside our studios. By the way, boys, you're going to be with our pal Adrian here, and the three of you are going to be tearing up Detroit in a couple of weeks for our coverage of the NFL draft.
Yeah, I think Detroit's going to be will not be the same after we leave.
They're already talking about you coming. They're preparing themselves for the three of you.
Well, Steve has been in touch with the committee there.
The Visit Detroit communication director. Shout out to Chris Moyer, and we'll have him probably on the show this weekend.
Yeah.
Giving us an update. Also, have got confirmation. We'll have our man Fred Funk on the show as well, giving us his memories about playing the Masters and how he's doing on the Champions Tour. Great guy. And so a lot coming up. And, of course, I know y'all have given a shout-out to the most outstanding player already. And it was great to see Tristan get that and put the El Paso Independent School District on the map for the world to see. And great job by him and UConn. I did pick UConn to repeat. I like their overall team situation that they had. And, of course, you know, having Tristan Newton as well. Too much guard play with UConn, and they could match Edie enough to make him get his and everyone else, you know, second fiddle.
Foss, will you, if you see Dak Prescott at the draft, will you have a conversation with him about some of your appearances on this show and how you feel about him?
No, you know, and I think y'all know this. I have a photo with Dak and Dean Cain, who was kind enough to host Chris and myself for the Super Bowl. You know, what professional aspects of his occupation that I have, I'm not gonna, you know, I have home training and manners. I'd say hello and be cordial. I love Dak. I question the fact that he has what it takes to be a championship caliber quarterback. Doesn't mean I don't like him. You know, I wouldn't say, hey man, you've taken my team or our team as fans not to where we'd like to be, and berate a guy in the middle of, you know, the draft or anywhere else. I think that's in poor taste.
I don't believe it. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I don't believe you love Dak Prescott. That's,
you know what,
I'll
Adrian? I'll tell you. We Steve and I have conversations off the air, and just, you know, because we hang out together, and he does. The frustration that he has is the postseason, and it's beyond. You know, the personal part of it is fine. It's the postseason part of Dak's play that frustrates him the most.
Is Dak Prescott 100%? Is Dak Prescott one of the best regular season quarterbacks in Cowboys history?
Number wise, if you look at his stats,
regular season only. Regular season only. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
No doubt.
Facts. Okay.
Facts. Got it. All right.
No,
Steve, I don't know if you saw, I saw this an article today where they were looking at a car, moving car over to the Cowboys.
Really?
Yeah.
I think It's interesting.
I shouldn't say that, though, because last time I said I'd like to see Russell Wilson in a Steelers uniform.
You got your wish.
That day it happened.
Yeah, exactly right.
I will say that it's the frustrating part, and all of us can understand this, is when you have an athlete in any sport who has all the tools but doesn't put them together in crunch time. That's, I think, the most frustrating part. If there wasn't the ability in the human to do it, that's one thing. Now you're saying, hey, man, you got to play above your head. You got to play out of your mind, all those sorts of things. That's not the case. It's not the physical talents of Dak Prescott that hurts him. It's the mental acuity and acumen at the time he needs it that has failed him.
Well said. You know, I'm gonna end this. I'm gonna end your part of the conversation with that. That's good. I'll let Chris handle the rest of the hour. But Foss, I'll be hearing a lot more of you in a few weeks when the three of you are out there in Detroit and anchoring our coverage here on Sports Talk.
Well, listen, this was a treat. Glad Chris has made it safely back home. And I was thinking about this, y'all. We only have one home. We may be residents of Austin and do a show from San Antonio, but we only have one home. My home has never changed, and that is El Paso, Texas.
When are you going to come back home? Because it's been a while since we've seen you here in the studio for the show.
Sounds good.
I'm going to have to bring him home because I got to come more often, so I'll bring him home with me.
Yeah, do that.
He's part of my family here, too.
There you go. That's a good way to do it.
There you go.
All right. Well, and so are y'all, and I mean that. And it's been great to do it, to collaborate as we have. Because it's our home, and we've taken home on the road to major events. And that's what I really appreciate, that we're having the ability now, Cappy, to do that. Warms the heart, seriously.
Good stuff. Foss, I'll talk to you again soon, all right? Take care. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Sounds great.
Talk to you soon, Foss.
All right. There he is. Steve Foster, laying down the law, hosts the show with Chris, and is calling into the program as well. 20 past. Come back with more in a moment. Sports Talk continues. With Charlie One, this traffic update, 600 ESPN El Paso. Back here on Sports Talk as we continue. All right. Good spot last break with the Foss calling into the show. Chris Fernandez here with us as well from Laying Down the Law as we continue on the program. So you tell me, how, for people that don't know, how big is spring football at UT?
It's huge. The spring game comes up next week. Next week or the week after, and it's huge. I mean, it's
how many fans will they draw for this?
They'll draw a lot. It'll be in the tens of thousands, maybe.
So maybe there's like, could there possibly be 40,000-50,000 to see the game?
The last time I went, there wasn't that many, but it gets a good crowd.
Well, now they're good.
Yes.
So with Sark and what happened last year, I feel like there's going to be new enthusiasm and excitement for that team.
I'd like to go.
I mean, especially because Arch is going to play. And so for all the Arch lovers out there, Arch Manning, you get a chance to go out there. You might not see Arch Manning a lot this actual season unless something happens to Ewers. But, I mean, they have a top five program in all of college football, guys. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of hype and excitement. 20K around there, is that fair to say that they'll at least go over that amount for spring game?
Could be, Adrian, because, you know, people in Texas – especially in Austin, they love Texas football, and they show out for them. So could be if I'm able to get there, I'll definitely do it. And it's huge. I think that spring ball, not only the game but the practices and things like that, it's huge for the coaches. It's huge for the team. Guys that are returning, it gives them an opportunity to say, "Hey, coach, look at me. Look how hard I worked off, you know, during the off season." You know, so it gives them an opportunity to showcase the skills that they've gotten better at. Things like that. The coaches get a chance to look at new guys. They get a chance to look at some of the veterans to see where they're progressing, and it helps.
Yeah, I believe it. It really does. So that, you know, because we've got spring ball going on right now here at UTEP. In fact, their next closed scrimmage will be this Saturday, and then next Saturday is going to be their spring game. So on 4/20, we'll have the our coverage is going to be actually amazing that day. We're gonna broadcast the spring game from the Sun Bowl, just like we would a regular home game. John Teicher is going to do it with Cole Freitag, Mondo Medina. We got the whole team coming out for that.
That's going to be awesome. I, in all the years that I lived in El Paso, never went to a spring game.
Really?
Never.
Well, most people in this town are just like you. They haven't. I mean, it's just the way it is. But I think because of the curiosity this year, not to mention UTEP is going to have a garage sale after the game where they're going to take about, I don't know, probably thousands of pieces and Nike equipment, and they're going to go ahead and sell them to people that want it.
Nice. Jerseys?
Everything. 800 jerseys.
Wow.
You might need to be back in 2 weeks for that.
I would love to get a number 41 jersey from UTEP.
You might need to come back and bring Foss. The two of you, that might need to be the weekend that the two of you come back here on the 20th.
That'd be interesting. It's going to be, it sounds like a really good event.
It's going to be great.
Sounds the like garage sale was awesome. Actually, I just got a flashback, guys, and it showed my haul from the last time they had it. Chris, I'm not sure how aware you are of this, but UTEP just transitioned to Adidas this past year. So all the Nike stuff's out of the, you know, going out of their locker rooms and everything, out of their athletic department, I should say. Yep. So maybe we see some swooshes and some checks out there at the garage sale.
Yeah, that'd be neat. First time they're doing it?
This is actually the second time they're doing it, but I think they've learned after the first time. The first time they did it, they had a crazy group of people, and most of the good stuff was gone within minutes. So now the deal is go to the spring game, $5 to go, $5 to get in, and then once you pay the $5, you now have the opportunity to be part of the garage sale after the game.
Very nice. Small price to pay.
It is a small price to pay.
Yeah.
And the truth is that if you want to get people to come watch the spring game, that's how you do it. You put the garage sale as an incentive. And now that you've incentivized fans, they're going to have a nice turnout for that spring game next Saturday.
Will you two be attending?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And not only will we be attending, we're buying. I mean, I guarantee you, I don't know what we're going to get, but when it's all said and done, we will be adding some UTEP merch to the collection.
Very nice. That's for
sure.
Yeah, we've got minor talk afterward, and we're going to figure out a way to if I have to give my credit card to Zay, or, you know, well, actually, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't give the card to Zay, because if he sees all the gear, he's going to want to go crazy and stuff like that. So, but we're going to have to figure out a way to make it to where everything works out.
Give me your card. I'll take care of it.
Nice. Thank you.
I am financially responsible. I will not run up your credit card to buy a
car. I don't know, Steve. There might be some tempting things. You might just say, I'll do this now. Adrian will thank me later. I'll get a couple of jerseys. This one I know he'll like.
The funny thing is, and this is the truth, again, speaking of jerseys, the gamers are fun, right? But you know this. You get a gamer, you can't wear it. It's too tight.
Right.
You almost need to get autographed and frame, and that's it.
That's what you do with them.
Yeah. You just don't get them. Because if you try to wear a gamer, because I have. I've got a football gamer, and I once wore it, and that was a mistake. It was hard to get that jersey on, and when you get it on, it shows every imperfection of your body, because we do not have washboard abs like the football players do.
Yep.
So believe me when I tell you that it's much better wearing a shirt tucked in with a little give than putting on a UTEP football jersey.
100%. 100%.
With those jerseys, I'm curious if anybody's going to buy a number 11 jersey, Steve, to honor our own Cade McConnell. You know, maybe that's the case.
I wonder if Sean's going to be here.
Ooh, good.
And
he will be
here. Buy that jersey.
He will be here.
So there you go.
Now, will these jerseys have the players' names on them still, or will they be taking those off?
I don't know. That's a good question. I would say probably removed, but
yeah,
I really don't know. I don't know.
Well, if you come across a number 41, I will gladly pay you on Tuesday for the purchase on that day.
Okay. And money's no object if it's a 41.
No.
Okay, good.
Of course not.
I like that. All right. I'll remember that. Remind me so I don't forget that.
I will.
Even though it's in your email, remind me. Okay, bottom of the hour, more in a moment with Chris and laying down the law. But first, let's go back to Adrian and get this SportsCenter update. 33 now past the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. They're still playing, by the way, out at Augusta. How are they doing this? Isn't it like 8:30 at night in Georgia right now?
Yes, it is, Steve. Yes, it is. So and there's light. So this has to be pre-tape, right? Or some kind of thing, right?
I don't
know how this is going. I don't know how this works.
Wait, hang on. Let me see what Tiger's still doing right now. See if he's still on the course. Because I want to – that'll give me a good idea. So Tiger Woods – here it is. Yeah, see, I guess it finished after 13. So they must be showing – this must be highlights because
from earlier.
Yeah, it has to be because Tiger still has 5 holes left to play at 1 under par.
Yeah, this is they suspended play. I'm looking on ESPN right now. Okay. Suspended play. DeChambeau still in the lead. Yeah, this is from earlier today, and definitely highlights, not the actual Masters round one.
Chris, would this be on your bucket list of tournaments to attend?
Definitely would. This and the Kentucky Derby.
Mm, that's
the Foss says he's going to the Kentucky Derby this year.
Really?
He did invite me. Do not think I will be able to attend. But that will be one thing that I check off the bucket list.
How is Foss getting there? Oh, I'm sorry. That's just, all he had to do was look at me, say, "Of course."
Yeah, Foss gave me a barrel head from Bullitt, and Mr. Bullitt gave it to him in his office.
Really?
Yes. And he gave that to me for my bar at my house.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, very giving guy.
It sounds like it. All right, I like that. So. Foss just makes things happen.
He does.
So is Foss the kind of guy that if he says to himself, I want to go to Augusta National this year, he'll get to Augusta National?
One way or the other.
Oh, I
know. If that's what he wants to do, he will. And he probably knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. Because Adrian, he knows a lot of folks. You know that.
He does. He knows everybody. That's a good life to know that if you want to do something in life, you just know you can make it happen.
If he was still on the segment with us, he'd say, oh, I already have somewhere I'm staying. Oh, I already have talked to the event coordinator out there. We're going to have him on in a couple months here to recap everything.
Well, that's how we got our rooms in Detroit. Is he called the draft folks that we met in Vegas after the show and said, "Hey, where can we stay?" And then he ended up putting us up in a really good hotel.
I love it.
Through the recommendation of the draft.
Yes.
You're paying for it, but you're in a good hotel.
But we're in a great hotel, and the prices we got were outstanding.
Good. So that's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. I like that.
I'm proud of you guys.
But that's the Foss at work, you know?
It is. And are you going to go for the whole week?
Yes.
Leave on Monday or Tuesday?
We'll get there Tuesday because we need to be there Wednesday because Wednesday is the morning where you get to walk on the field with the top, you know, 10, 12 guys in the draft that are projected to go first.
You know, Friday, the Tigers are playing. They're at home against Kansas City.
I believe that's the day we fly out.
Oh, so you're flying back out on Friday.
I think so.
You're not staying through the weekend.
I'd have to check my flights again, but it might be.
I'm going Sunday, so I don't know about you guys.
Adrian's there through Sunday.
Adrian's got family there.
He does.
That's right.
Wow, Adrian's going to outlast you on this trip.
Yep. He is.
We got a lot to cover, man. There's a UTEP player who could be selected in this draft. First time since 2018.
Yeah. And you could be there for that.
Could be. Maybe not, but could be.
And what is he predicted to go first or second round?
Day three. He's a day three guy, fourth through seventh round. So that's what we're thinking right now.
Tyrese Knight is who we're talking about.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Hey, doesn't matter where you go, right?
Drafted is drafted.
You play for the Shield, you play for the Shield.
That's exactly. 37 passes. We continue. We'll wrap things up with Chris next and take you home here in our final segment. Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso.